This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It was one of the most contentious issues presented during the 2015 legislative session, a proposed repeal of West Virginia's prevailing wage. After pressure from labor, industry, and the opposite side of the aisle, the new Republican majority backed off the issue, instead approving a recalculation of the rate. But that doesn't mean the tension has subsided. Before the new law, the prevailing wage was made up of the hourly rate, overtime, and benefits paid to workers on state construction or renovation projects. But now, that definition has changed. As Ashton Mara explains, the method used to calculate the new wage rate was due to lawmakers by June 1st. And while the deadline was met, Republican leaders say the agency charged with creating it didn't meet their legal requirements.
Here it is, June 8th, and they're before us today telling us that it's still a work in progress. They have not done what they were required to do.
Charlie Trump is the Senate Judiciary Chair and a member of the Joint Committee on Government and Finance. On Monday, Workforce West Virginia presented him and the full committee with its new methodology to calculate the state's prevailing wage. Republican leaders, however, were not happy with what was presented, and Democrats fought back. But before we get into the politics, let's talk about the policy. Senate Bill 361, passed during the 2015 legislative session, required Workforce join with West Virginia University's Bureau of Business and Economic Research and Marshall University's Center for Business and Economic Research to come up with a new way to calculate the wage.
The first task we looked at was assigning the regions of the state.
Jeff Green is the director of research, information, and analysis for Workforce West Virginia. In order to calculate an appropriate wage, the state had to be broken into regions where rates could be compared. Green says they chose to stick with the seven already assigned Workforce West Virginia regions for consistency within the agency. Those group counties regionally, with the exception of Kanawha, which stands alone.
We also decided then to look at, as the legislation indicates, to take a look at the BLS data.
BLS stands for Bureau for Labor Statistics. The federal agency collects wage information from across the country through surveys and reports those findings annually. But Green says they found the data was incomplete. So, in addition to using the BLS numbers to calculate a new wage, Workforce decided they would also do a survey of West Virginia businesses about what they pay workers in the construction industry. And that's where things begin to get complicated. The legislation called for a report on the methodology by June 1st, which Workforce had, but it also calls for a new wage rate to be set by July 1st. Green told the committee he did not believe a reliable number of surveys could be returned in that amount of time, so he asked for an extension that's an option under the new law. The extension through September 30th would allow Workforce to continue working on setting the new hourly rate while the current prevailing wage stays in place. But the committee did not give Workforce that extension, which means if they do not complete their surveys and calculate the new rate by July 1st, the prevailing wage will disappear in West Virginia, at least for some period of time. Again, Senator Trump.
The last prevailing wages set by the Department of Labor are in effect until July 1st, period. Nothing changes that. And they will then, the new prevailing wages, when filed by Workforce, will be in effect. If they file them by July 1st, then we won't have any lapse. But if they file them in August, then there'll be a month lapse.
That lapse is what the three Democratic members of the committee say they worry about, including Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler. He expressed his concerns while surrounded by colleagues of both parties after the meeting.
You know, we keep hearing about what we need is predictability and certainty by businesses. They need to know what the legal landscape is, their tax landscape is. And here we are in one of our major industries in the state is construction, and we are in a state of complete uncertainty what happens on July 1. 22 days from today.
Not necessarily.
Senator Craig Blair cut in. He proposed the bill this session, which started as a total repeal of the prevailing wage.
It could be like 20 other states that have zero prevailing wage in this country. And you know, a contract's a contract. So you don't have to worry about that. It may actually be quite the opposite, where there are 10 times the jobs bid out than what there was before. and more people in West Virginia going to work and having jobs.
That's your position, but that's not the position of those 100 or 200 employers in the state that were saying they wanted certainty in the system.
But the parties had more to debate. Senate Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael says the law does not account for a new survey, instead calls on workforce to rely on already existing wage data, primarily those national BLS numbers. But House Minority Leader Tim Miley argued the language was not limiting. It permitted workforce to use the BLS data along with, quote, actual economic data.
How else do you get actual economic data but by doing the surveys?
Committee attorneys advised the members they did not feel the method workforce presented met the legal requirements in the law. First, they said, because workforce included fringe benefits in their calculation rather than the hourly rate alone as requested. Second, because the BLS data were not the primary source of those calculations. Still, Senator Trump says the committee has no authority to approve or disapprove of the method.
The Joint Committee on Government Finance has no authority to change anything or tweak any methodology, or workforce will file what it's going to file, when it's going to file it, and the legislature as a whole would have a chance to react to it when we're in general session.
So now the pressure lies on Workforce West Virginia to complete their surveys and calculate a new wage by July 1st. There's no doubt between lawmakers that they have the authority to do that. The doubt comes on the reliability of that calculation. During the meeting, lawmakers approved a motion granting their committee's attorneys access to all documents and communications from Workforce dealing with the calculation of the rates. Council was also directed to prepare options for the legislature to consider if Workforce does not adopt a methodology council deems legal. Jeff Green from Workforce West Virginia was not available for comment following the meeting. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:50. A chance of some lingering rain and thunderstorms this morning. Partial clearing by this afternoon. Temperatures in the 70s and low 80s. A chance of rain returns tonight with lows in the 30s and 40s. Sunshine on Wednesday with highs in the 80s. It's breakfast time, but it's never too early to start thinking about lunch. Let's go to Raleigh County, where the Dish Cafe is serving up fantastic cuisine that's really good for you. Suzanne Higgins reports on the growing popularity of this farm-to-table restaurant.
So I'm going to get going with getting the vegetables grilling.
The look and smell are as great as the sound. Red, yellow, and green peppers sautéing with freshly chopped onion.
So that'll take about 10 minutes. And then I can move on to something else.
Chef Devin Billiter is also operations manager for the Dish Cafe, open now 2 years and located in Daniels, West Virginia, in Raleigh County. It's a farm-to-table restaurant, cooking up their own recipes using local produce and proteins as much as possible.
I'm going to get started on the sauce. For the chili, and a little bit later we'll finish cooking off the beef and season it up and let that simmer down until about 5 o'clock today.
The Italian sausages come from Sherwood Family Farm in Greenbrier County, smoked trout from Gary Redden in Shady Spring, strawberries from a Fayette County grower, honey and free-range eggs are from Iris Farm, another local producer, and grass-fed beef from Swift Level Farm in Lewisburg. Today, as he prepares for his Taco Tuesday, Billiter is featuring certified Angus beef from a Charleston producer.
It's a lot of fun, not only to build the recipes when you have a passion for food and create the items, but when you know what the result is going to be.
That's where the pride comes in.
The result is a healthier and delicious dining out option. And the restaurant is based on a lifestyle lived by all three couples who own it.
You know, it was funny because a lot of people said, oh, you know, people around here don't like frou-frou food. You know, they want everything fried. They, you know, they're not going to respond well.
Michelle Rodolini is one of the owners.
So we always kind of talked about, you know, we should have a restaurant, you know, we should really show people how great food can be, that you don't have to add things to it to make it taste good. You don't have to add sugar. You can make food taste good by using herbs and spices and things like that, cooking with quinoa instead of flour and agave nectar instead of refined white sugar.
Some of the regular menu items include the falafel salad, Hawaiian flatbread, the roasted porchetta sandwich, and their signature 10-ounce ribeye.
I love their trout. I had it today, and they have it about once a week, so it's excellent. It's a almond-crusted fillet of trout. It's really, really good.
I like the avocado brownie and the black bean burger, the grass-fed burger, like she said, the grass-fed beef, and their salads are awesome.
We like to support any restaurant that supports our local economy and our local farmers, and we like to eat the healthier produce.
The chicken tastes excellent.
The dressings are to die
for. Oh, the blue cheese. I love blue cheese, and that's the best dressing of blue cheese I've had. My wife doesn't even eat it, and she's...
Yeah, it's good. It's good, and I don't like blue cheese usually.
Wow, that's a testimony, isn't it?
Among farm-to-table restaurants, Rodolini says the Dish Cafe stands out.
Although there are farm-to-table restaurants, there are no restaurants that are doing production like we're doing. You know, we are a 135-seat restaurant, and we're putting out food that the same way that a chain does. So as quickly and with the variety that, say, an Applebee's or an Outback does.
Serving up this yummy and healthier fare is much more expensive for a farm-to-table effort compared to a chain restaurant. Organic ingredients are more expensive, and cooking from scratch means more hired labor in the kitchen. Billiter points out consistency and volume of the local ingredients are other factors.
The growers know their seasons. They grow as much as they can because they know when the farmers' markets are going to be. Whereas with the restaurants, we have to have quantities, and it obviously would be an estimated quantity based on our guess of what our volume of business is going to be. And moving forward from there, then we have to get to the growers to say, this is how many pounds of green peppers I'm going to need by the week through this quarter, or this is how many Idaho potatoes I'm going to need. It's that challenge there, as well as having an aggregator in between to help get the product from the farms to us, because we can't always get to the farms to get it. And on the flip side, the farmers can't always have somebody getting out to us because they have to be maintaining the farms.
So this coordination with local farmers and the refinement of the product delivery system is still a work in progress and a financial commitment.
We've stayed committed to keeping our prices lower or equal to what our competitors are while we're still using ingredients that cost two times to sometimes five times more than what our local competitors are using. And the success of our restaurant is going to be continued on the amount of volume that we have.
And that's going well. The Dish Cafe is currently rated the number one area restaurant on TripAdvisor. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Suzanne Higgins in Daniels.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Your comments are always welcome. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.